This morning's message, which was prepared by Pastor Hale, is entitled God's Battle with the Sea, based on Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. What images come to mind when you think about ocean waves? If you have ever stood on a beach and seen, heard, or felt the waves of the ocean crashing on the shore, you will never forget it. The ocean, the sea, what a picture of power. Revelation 21:1, just the last phrase of the verse says, "And the sea was no more." This is a curious verse. It continues St. John's vision of heaven, which is the major theme of the entire book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. What could John be saying when he speaks of the day when the sea was no more? First of all, we need to remember that the entire book of Revelation is symbolic. Here are a few examples of the symbolisms in this book. The Lamb on heaven's throne. He's not speaking of a literal sheep. He is referring to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. That Lamb of God sacrificed on the cross, now reigning as King forever. The 144,000 in heaven, not a literal number of just a special group who make it to heaven, one of the many errors in the false teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses. This number is a symbolic Jewish number, 12 times 12,000, which represents all believers of all time. 666, this symbolic number in the book of Revelation represents absolute evil, often associated with the devil and the Antichrist. 7 is a number that often represents God. 6 is equal to 7 minus 1. A God wannabe, an evil person that tries to pull people away from God. So, 666, three sixes, means really evil. The dragon, this symbolic creature represents Satan, the devil. In this vision of John, we call the book of Revelation, this dragon is finally cast into what is called a lake of fire, a place of eternal punishment. Well now, in view of all this symbolism, what is John saying in his heavenly vision when he declares, "And the sea was no more"? All throughout Holy Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the sea is a symbol of the enemies of God and his people. This morning we will look at just a few of the many biblical references. In Isaiah 17, the prophet says, "Assyria is coming like the waves of the sea." In verses 12 through 13, it reads, "Woe to the multitude of many people who make noise like the roar of the seas, like the rushing of many waters. But God will rebuke them, and they will flee far away." Around 700 BC, the prophet Isaiah tells Hezekiah, king of Judah, that their mighty enemy, Assyria, will send their armies against Jerusalem like the non-stop waves of the sea. But God will rebuke them. God will send them packing. God will hush and silence the roar and waves. God will defeat them and protect his people. This indeed took place as the Assyrian armies did not destroy Jerusalem. Keep in mind, God's rebuking and silencing the sea when we get to Jesus in the New Testament. In Isaiah 27, the prophet declares that at the end of the world, God will prevail, like in a battle with the chaos and evil of the sea. Verse 1 reads, "In that day, the Lord, with his severe sword, will slay Leviathan, the dragon that is in the sea." Isaiah envisions the end of the world, a final battle between good and evil. In his vision, Isaiah pictures God defeating a sea monster, a powerful enemy of the people of God that comes from the depths of the sea. The name of this monster is Leviathan. This is Isaiah's way of telling the people of Judah that God will rule the day, and they can trust him now as they face their biggest problems. In Isaiah 51, the prophet calls upon God in prayer to bring victory over Babylon, as he brought victory over Egypt many years before at the waters of the Red Sea. Verse 9 reads, "Awake, awake, O arm of the Lord, as in ancient days, you who dried up the sea, you who made the depths of the sea a dry road for the redeemed to pass over." The people of Judah had been defeated by the enemy nation Babylon. This passage is a prayer for deliverance, asking God to deliver them now as he delivered them once before from slavery in Egypt. Isaiah pleads to God, "You did it once, do it again. You dried up the Red Sea and the children of Israel walked through the waters. Please do it again and defeat Babylon, who for us has become a powerful enemy like the mighty waters of the sea." The prophet Habakkuk says much the same as he prays that God walk on the back of Babylon like he can walk on the waves of the sea. Verse 8 reads, "O Lord, let your anger be against the seas. Ride upon the heap of great waters with your chariots of salvation." Again, keep in mind God walking on the sea when we get to Jesus in the New Testament. Now, just three brief passages from the New Testament Gospels. Matthew 14, we read the account of Jesus walking on the sea and enabling Peter to do the same. "Now Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and Peter said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So Jesus said, 'Come.' But the wind and the waves were high, and Peter was afraid and began to sink. Jesus stretched out his hand and saved him, and the wind and the waves ceased. Those in the boat said, 'Truly, truly, you are the Son of God.'" What did you notice here? Jesus walked on the sea, like the description of God in the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Jesus also enabled Peter to do the same. Then Jesus stills the winds and waves, again, like the description of God in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. In Mark 4, we find a wonderful account. Jesus calms the storm at sea. Verse 35 reads, "The disciples took Jesus with them on the boat, and a great storm arose and beat the boat. But Jesus was asleep. Then they awoke him, saying, 'Teacher, don't you care we are perishing?' Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and sea and said, 'Peace, be still.' And there was a great calm. Then they said to one another, 'Who is this, that even the winds and sea obey him?'" St. Mark ends this account with that question, "Who is this Jesus?" And Mark does not answer his own question. We who read his account are to supply the answer. Like God who was spoken of in the Old Testament prophets Isaiah and Habakkuk, this Jesus calms the seas, walks on the seas, rebukes the seas. Who is this Jesus? He is the Almighty God in human flesh, and he has come to show his power over the seas, over all that plagues his people, over all that would hurt or destroy. One last New Testament passage for us this morning. In Mark 5, we read the account of Jesus casting demons out of a very troubled man and into the sea. Verse 6 through 13 contained, "The unclean spirits came out of the man and entered into the pigs. And the herd ran violently down the cliff and into the sea and were drowned in the sea." Jesus frees a man by casting demons from him into pigs, then the pigs into the sea. Why? To show that he is master over all evil. In ancient thought, the depths of the sea was the realm and darkness of evil. Jesus sent the demons back where they belonged. He is the ruler over all evil and deliverer of his people. This is indeed what we have seen in these biblical accounts we have mentioned today. The sea is the symbol of the enemies of God and all that would hurt his people. God will have the final word over these enemies. And his final word to his enemies is this: I win, you lose. This brings us back to where we began with John's vision of heaven in Revelation 21:1, the sermon text for today. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. In this vision of the end of time on earth and the beginning of eternity in heaven, John declares, "The sea is no more." Oh, the day is coming when all the enemies of God and God's people will be defeated. I can't wait. How about you? The sea will be no more. No more Assyrians or Babylonians attacking Jerusalem. No more devil causing doubts and fears. In heaven, all that causes pain will be no more. No more cancer, no more broken homes, no more broken hearts. No more fear or loneliness. No more frustrations or disappointments. No more hunger or poverty. No more sorrow, guilt, or shame. No more financial worries. No more growing weak or feeble. No more death. No more tears. Listen once again to these wonderful words from our sermon text in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the sea was no more. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." This is the Christian's sure future and present strength. There's an old hymn that is a wonderful summary of today's sermon. "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous seas." It is number 715 in our hymnal. At this time, I ask you to open up your hymnals to that, number 715, as we will read those verses together. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother stills her child, thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey thy will. When thou say'st to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar, 'twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, 'Fear not, I will pilot thee.'" In the name of Jesus, amen.